Welcome to the inaugural episode of St. Croix Stories, a podcast all about Hudson, Wisconsin. I'm your host, Tyler Mason, and I've lived in Hudson for over a decade. The idea for this podcast is something I'd been kicking around for a while, and I'm excited to finally launch the show. One of the things I hope to use this platform for is a way of promoting the Hudson community. So when I was thinking of who my first guest should be, I instantly knew it had to be the person I've seen promote Hudson more than anyone. My first memory of Chad Traynor using his platform to promote the community came at the onset of the pandemic. His restaurant, Urban Olive and Vine, located downtown Hudson, was in the same boat as all the other local restaurants in early 2020. They were limited to takeout only, watching a good chunk of their business evaporate. So Chad took to Facebook and Instagram to not only share with his followers about what Urban Olive was offering, but also about the options of other local restaurants as well. Thanks to Chad, people in Hudson discovered restaurants they'd never tried or never even heard of before, and they fell in love with them. So as this podcast dives into all the people who make Hudson great, it had to start with Chad. In this episode, we talk about how he became such an advocate for all things Hudson, what type of restaurant he wishes Hudson had, an interesting run-in he had with the Hudson police, and a whole lot more. Enjoy this conversation with Chad Traynor. So my first guest here on St. Croix Stories, if you're in Hudson, you probably know him. You've probably been to his restaurant. But for those of you who don't know, Chad Traynor is the co-owner and chef at Urban Olive and Vine. I'm so excited to be chatting with him today. He's promoted this community probably more than anyone that I'm aware of. Chad, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Let's start out with an intro. For people who don't know you, or maybe people who just know of you on Facebook, or they've seen you around town, just tell a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So Carol and I have worked at Urban Olive and Vine for about 10 and a half years. So we were there about 5 years, and then we bought it from the previous owner, Kay Tim. And then we have owned it for about 5.5 years now. It'll be 6 years in the middle of winter. So we've been there for a while. We've been around. People might have known us from working there, but we weren't as, I don't know if it's the right word, prominent.
Sure.
In the community until a little while after we took over, somewhere before and into the pandemic.
So you kind of mentioned the backstory of you and your wife, Carol, at Urban. You took over, I think, 2018. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was 2018.
Obviously, you'd worked there before, but what did that mean to you, to the two of you, to take over and be co-owners?
It was pretty cool. I've been in the industry for 33 plus years, and about 4 months in to my first restaurant job, I knew I wanted to be a chef, be an owner, do this for my living. I also wasn't very good at sitting down at a desk or studying or, you know, sitting still, basically. So the kitchen environment was really good for me. This is our second stint of owning a restaurant. So we'd already had some experience in the past. We owned Chadwick's in North Hudson in sometime around the middle of 2000.
Okay.
For a couple years there until a fire took that one away. And then we decided we wanted to wait to do it again until the kids were older, kind of out of school,
sure,
doing their thing. And that happened. We weren't actively looking. I was working in the cities and I got a job working at Urban. Didn't know where it was and we're 3 blocks away from it. But usually if you're downtown, if you live downtown, when you leave Hudson, you go down Vine Street or Walnut Street to get out. So I had not spent a lot of time on this block between Et Cetera and Mickelson's.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know it was there. So it is exactly 3 blocks from our house.
Wow.
So
it's an easy commute.
All the other stuff leading up to working there, the final like glance between Carol and I on should we buy Urban was we're only 3 blocks.
Yeah.
You know, from here. So give up a car.
Yep.
You know, and then walk to work. So I walk to work because I love the cold. Carol drives to work. So, yeah. So it's just kind of all the stars kind of aligned.
Yeah.
Kay, the previous owner, is also the owner of Grand Fête.
Oh, okay.
So she started Grand Fête about a year before we took over. So within that year, that's where the conversation started.
Sure.
You know, happening. So she opened up Grand Fête and took about half of the retail that she was most interested in. Mm-hmm. And then she left half of the retail that we thought related to urban.
Sure.
You know, more. And then she actually taught us a few things and gave us a good, you know, ideas and on what to do because we didn't know retail.
Right.
I know food. She knows the front.
Right.
So retail was totally new.
Yeah.
To all of us. So.
You mentioned you know, long career in the food industry. What's been maybe some of your more memorable stops along the way? Do you have any that come to mind?
The weirdest thing, and now I'm going to brag a tiny bit.
You're allowed to do that.
So I wanted nothing to do with restaurants. I worked in factories.
Okay.
I lived with my best friend, Jerry, who wanted a ride to Red Lobster so he could apply for a job. So I was sitting in the front lobby by the lobster tank while he was interviewing. And then Claudia, the manager, came up to me and said, do you want a job? And I'm like, I laughed at her. No, I don't want to work in a restaurant. I thought all restaurants were McDonald's. This would be in the late 80s.
Sure.
She said, why don't you just apply? Fine. So I applied. And somehow between not wanting a job in a restaurant and Rick, the general manager, saying, you're going to need to shave if you want to work here. And I'm like, okay. And he said, you're hired. So whatever.
Did you have a big beard back then? Or?
Yeah, I had a full beard. Okay. If you saw wedding pictures, I look really weird. Beard, mustache, I don't know what I was doing. And now I don't have anything. So basically, I got hired, never been in a kitchen before. And within 4 months, I was running the kitchen.
Wow.
And I was decent at factory work, repetition,
sure.
You know. But I accidentally found something that I was really good at. And then maybe several months later, they hired this new kid, Jeremy. And I'm like, so what are you doing in life? Where are you from? And he's like, oh, I just graduated from culinary school. Hmm. And I'm like, why would you go to culinary school? Why don't you just cook in the restaurant? Right. And so I didn't think anything, whatever, go to culinary school. I had already tried and quit college 3 times at that point. Four times, sorry. And then Carol woke up one day and said, hey, we're going to have a baby. And I'm like, woohoo, I better go to college. So I signed up for culinary school. And that I was really good at that. And, you know, the instructors spent most of their time with the fairly decent students. And I did not know they were using me, but they let me spend a lot of time with the not so decent students. So I would help them and guide them and mentor and not knowing what was going on. And between working in restaurants and the instructors allowing me to have a lot of input and leadership in the class, the culinary classes, I just kind of caught on to this thing. And it was getting really good,
yeah,
you know, really fast.
And now here
that was the first memorable moment. Sorry.
No.
So second memorable moment is that I got a job because of a reference from one of my culinary instructors at the River Lane Inn with Carla Fisher, who is the best chef I've ever worked for in my life. And she is the entire reason that I wanted my own restaurant. She was just the chef there, but I wanted a restaurant. I wanted my kitchen, my menu to do how I wanted to do it. And she is like, I pretty much copied everything she taught me to open up our first restaurant, Chadwick's. That's how I do things. And then even Urban is totally different because that was Seafood and Wild Game. Urban's totally different, but it's specials and changing and different ingredients and oddball ingredients and just not your normal menu,
right.
You know, that you would walk into. And that's kind of what she was. My first night there, all I had to cook was 3 fish items. And it took me the whole night to figure it out in this fish on this plate with this vegetable and this starch. And I'm like, I got it at the end of the night. This is great. My hands are up in the air right now, just so you know, I'm cheering for myself. And the next day I walked in, whole menu is different.
Wow.
Wow. What is this?
So much for that.
Over again, over again. So that was the coolest thing in the world. And I got to see all this different kind of seafood and wild game and all this food made from scratch after 2 years at Red Lobster.
Yeah.
You know, and that was just really cool. So everything I've done as a chef, and I haven't seen her in decades, and she won't even know this, but everything I do as a chef and even as an owner is because of her. And there's a lot of cool people along the way, but she put that spark in my head of this, I want to do this the rest of my life.
I think a lot of people have maybe that one person that kind of sparks it for them.
So yeah, cool, and cool, but you don't know it at the time
right. Sometimes.
And I knew I was kind of good in her kitchen doing, and she was letting me do things. I didn't realize what it would, you know, lead into. And it's what's weird. This is in Milwaukee. And we had moved to Hudson and we were here for years. every time I went back to Milwaukee, I went to see her almost to say, oh, this is what I'm doing now. And this is where I did it. Hey, this is the new thing. I still never thinking that I'm going to do this in the future because of you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of a weird, you know, situation. And then that's two. We'll think of another memorable moment sure later on. More.
Well, you mentioned Red Lobster, and I was going to bring that up because I think I read actually a Star Observer article talked about you and Carol met at working at Red Lobster. And you've obviously been working together, you know, quite a bit since then. How long have you worked in a kitchen with Carol, and what's that dynamic like
when it's the two of you? This is funny because I was there for over a year, and she showed up. And basically, none of the other servers liked me, but apparently she did for a little bit. So she was a server. I was in the kitchen. So we worked for a little while there, and then that was it. And then she was going to grad school because she's the smart one in our family. So grad school in math and physics and chemistry and things like that. And I was learning how to cook. So we worked for that little bit there. And then we didn't actually work in the same restaurant again until Chadwick's. Hmm. And then after that, a couple little stints where I worked somewhere and she did their bookkeeping.
Okay.
And then we didn't work again with each other until Urban. So, and I had got hired at Urban first, and there Kay's like, we need another server. And I'm like, maybe Carol want to serve. So she did that. And then we started working where we do well with each other. And this is me doing well because knowing that she is the calm, cool and collected one and the decision maker, her doing well because I'm kind of a squirrel and hyper. And sometimes there's still some smart, useful thing going on behind all my babbling. So we have a kind of divide and conquer thing. I am the kitchen. She's the front of the house. Mm-hmm. I'm the music. She's the retail. We will ask each other opinions about either one, but not step on the toes of either of those decisions. And again, like I'd said, and I don't know if I said it to you earlier or on this microphone, if there's any difference of opinion, I'm usually going to let her decision win out because I'm very emotional and squirrely and kind of hyper. And she is calm and she's analytical and she's really thought about this and what it might do. So like, even if I want to do this menu item and this thing, and then I want to charge this much, she's like, well, she's not going to tell me how to do the menu item, but can you adjust it so it's this price? So we don't, we don't price something out of whatever anybody, you know, wants or I want this cool product, but is that just going to freak people out? Cause they don't want smoked octopus, you know, things like that. So we kind of stay out of each other's way. Although she cooks in the kitchen all the time now, and I don't know how to wait on tables. I don't know how to barista. I don't know how to do any of those jobs. So she's actually over the years become really, really good at cooking. And that helps during the school year when we don't have a lot of kids available to help us, you know, with the cooking. We don't have any if you want to say arguments or business arguments about why are you doing this or what, you know, if there's an argument, it's because I lost receipts, you know, or I double booked a band and didn't say anything, or I forgot to tell her that she was opening tomorrow and the barista. So that's about, you know, it. Other than that, we have our territories and we stick to them. And then we meet halfway with the other territories.
Either of you like to cook at home, or is it, can you separate that from when you're at work and you come home and you don't want to have
to. She's always done that at home because the kids, you know, growing up, and I have cooked at home. If you want to say real, real cooked, a real meal, maybe once ever. And I think it's because a couple decades ago, American Fish, one of our food purveyors, gave me complimentary steak and lobster for a holiday. And I took it home and cooked it. Other than that, no.
Wow.
Cereal, boiling water for something. So, and that's what I've cooked so much over the years. So when I wasn't in management or owning a restaurant, I've always had two jobs. I'm a big believer in just keep busy because I'm kind of lazy when I'm not keeping busy. Hard worker at Urban, lazy at home. So I was always used to working. I never have ever had the urge to be an at-home chef.
Interesting. So kind of one of the reasons I wanted to have you as our first episode on this podcast is just the support that you've given and shown to this community. And, you know, for me, it kind of, you know, dates back probably to the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Restaurants were struggling. you know, you kind of put out the bat signal for all these restaurants to, hey, check out this place. This place is doing carry out that, you know, this and that. Take me back to, you know, what do you remember about that time and maybe kind of how that began? Because these are, you know, restaurants and businesses that could be seen as maybe trying to get the same customers as Urban Olive. But what was, what was it about that you felt, you know, maybe compelled to try to help out these other businesses?
Yeah, we would, like before the pandemic, we would go out to eat once or twice a week, usually Asian. That's what we like, all the Asian restaurants. That's what you would see the most, you know, if you're really paying attention. So we would go out and I would want to post something and Carol would be like, well, Chad can post it. Don't Urban can't post that. So, and that's fine. So we would just go out and say something about that. And that was just us. And honestly, I think I have about 13 followers, Chad. So nobody cares.
On Facebook, you're talking about, right?
Yes, on Facebook. Yeah. Nobody cares. All right. So what happened is as soon as I'm going to go off on a little tangent here.
Sure.
For me, I don't watch TV. I don't read the newspaper. Don't listen to the radio. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't like pay attention to the world except the world that's right around me in front of me. So I don't see the news, you know, things like that. So there's all this stuff happening and things, and Carol's talking because she watches the news and she's telling me what's going on. And this, the pandemic thing, and all of a sudden there might be, we might have to shut down. We might have to do this. And I think the day they said, I don't remember the words. Something's happening. There might be a shutdown. We just happened to be done at work and we walked over to Agave Kitchen and we ate. And I normally, I take pictures and stuff like this. And I said, can I please just post this at Urban? Just, you know, all this weird stuff is happening. Yeah. Can I just, and she's like, fine, that's cool. So I posted on Urban's Instagram and Facebook, what we ate and what we're doing here and blah, blah, blah. And this was really cool and took pictures of the stuff. And that's all I was thinking about was just that 5 minutes, you know, of doing that. And then also the next day, 47 people comment on it. And, oh, I've had that. And, oh, you should have this burger. And, oh, that was nice of you to do that. Didn't think anything of it. And everything's closed. It's like the next day. And it's like, well, can't do anything. Because in the beginning, we didn't know what was going on. We knew we were going to stay open. We didn't know unless to go. Are you hungry? Should we go get something? So we went some, are you okay if I post about it again? Sure. And that's the last time I had to ask her because she's the mature one. I ask if I can do things and same thing. And oh, that was really cool. Why not next day? Next day. And we couldn't tell you the exact time because I like attention. Everybody knows that. I like attention. So I want to go out again. I want to go out again. And at some point in life, Carol's like, oh, it's cool. You know, so let's go out again. Go to, and then she's like, hey, let's go here. Let's go here. It just kind of started morphing into this cool thing. And then all of a sudden a manager comes into Urban. An owner comes into Urban. Somebody else comes in and orders food. An employee down the road that has soup in their restaurant comes to Urban to get soup. And it's like, oh, this is kind of cool. Again, not putting anything together.
Right.
And so it was probably a month in before I started realizing that this is kind of a cool thing. And I was just posting for fun to say we ate out.
Yeah.
But somewhere within that first month, it's people saying, not in a negative way, like, why are you doing that?
Right.
'Cause these are restaurants. You're a restaurant. You need the customers. Why are you telling people to go eat somewhere else? And the very first thing that popped into our head, two things popped into our heads. Well, one, nobody has food like us, maybe close to the Caesar salad and the tomato bisque.
Sure.
Otherwise, nobody does just the food, the style of food, the type of things, a lot of the flavors, the weird things in the quiche. Nobody does that. So it's like, well, we're not, we're competing for rear ends and seats, but not really for your food customers. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is like, well, if we all do well, then we're all going to do well. So at that point, it's like, Now I feel that I have to say something about everybody. I have to go into the retail shop too. Want to go into the hair salon. They're not going to do anything with my hair. but just say something or take a picture of that place or that event. And then we were already spending a lot of time with the kids that work for us and at their events and school functions and things like that. I said, well, why don't I post about that too? And, oh, their mom's here. You know, eating with them. I'll post a picture of that too. And it just kind of slowly morphed into now I take a picture if I'm at Fleet Farm buying nuts. if I'm at the Mississippi Welding getting the fire extinguisher fixed. If the plumber comes in to fix our thing. I got to do that at a special angle so you don't see the all the mess and why we had to call the plumber. You know, and it just turned into now we're kind of an open book. And, you know, it can be frustrating for the employees, for Carol, because I'm always got my camera.
Yeah.
If you spill something, I'm taking a picture of you. If someone makes fun of you, I'm taking a picture. But they smile or they run out of the room. So it just kind of came from just, let's just goof off and post this picture to this kind of thing really, you know, is working to the point that, like, I feel bad if I go a couple days and haven't said something.
Yeah.
I feel bad if I didn't know that that business opened up last week. And then part of me is thinking, why didn't any of your neighbors tell you to go say hi to Chad or go eat at Urban or say, you know, so, and that happens once in a while where somebody's like, hey, you should go to that place, that this yeah. the new place if you haven't seen it yet. So that's kind of neat. Yeah. So now it's just everything. We don't go out to eat as much anymore. We went out to eat every single night for almost 2 years.
Wow.
And then it turned into, you know, several times a week. And for and now it's probably, on some weeks, it might be once, depending on how busy we are. Sometimes it might be three or four. There's a couple Sundays where I've gone out three times. And it's all kind of, it's unplanned. It's all just kind of whatever mood is happening. And I'll say something. So, and then people are like, how come you eat out so much and you don't get fat? The only time we eat is if you see a picture on the internet. So we don't really eat much. It's just, you know, when we start going out and taking pictures and stuff like that. And, you know, it's really cool when a new place opens up, especially if we happen to get there before everyone else, you know, knows. So that's a good feeling when they've been open for a little bit, we post something. And then a bunch of people go there.
Yeah.
There's never been like, let's do this so people say thank you, or let's do this so, you know, people want to come and whatever, show us the picture of what they ate. But it's still cool when that happens, when like, I had no idea it was there. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
And I won't say negative things because people ask that sometimes.
I've noticed
that, yeah. Like, how come, like, what is this? Tell us what you don't want. I'm this isn't like a business or a moneymaker. So I'm not, it's like, you can tell me where you might want me to go eat and that's fine. But I don't want like people like calling us and saying, hey, come to my place. I would, but it's just, that's not why we're doing it. And I'm not going to say anything negative. We don't respond to negative comments, to negative reviews, anything like that. And there's even times where I made this post about this business, about, or this restaurant, about this thing, and I'll delete a negative comment. Because that's not, make your own post about. So it has nothing to do with you or anything. It just has to do with, all I care about is saying nice things about these people. If they made a mistake, if they cook something I didn't like, if I just don't like that item and will never eat it again, I'm not, that's not, what's the point of that?
You can move on from it.
You can read the newspaper or watch those TV shows where they yell at each other about how they cook. It's the nice stuff. And if, and I know, you know, it might upset someone if I don't respond to something or I don't answer their question about the lousy burger, or, you know, they had a burger there and it was well done and they ordered it medium rare. Sorry, I mess up too. And I would hope that you wouldn't, you know, start getting angry with me because I messed up your food. I would deserve it because I don't want to mess up your food, but I don't want to tell the whole world. So it's, we just try to do all the positive, you know, that we can. And if I didn't like a thing, maybe that's the last picture in the post, you know, or,
it still makes
or
cut
maybe
pictures,
I just don't, you know, order that thing again or there's, we just, we don't have the time or the energy to say what we don't like or to say what somebody in anything, not just the restaurants, but when we're posting about the retailer or the shop or the, you know, I'm not, so even if we, let's say I go into a store and whatever, we're just here. It's not the greatest thing. Nothing special happened. I still want to say something. Nice.
But people know it's there at least.
Yeah, because the funniest, it's not funny, but to me, the funniest post was the first time I posted about Mississippi Welding. I think that's what it's called, Mississippi Welding Company, you know, by Fleet Farm.
Sure.
Between Fleet Farm and EJ's. Ooh, EJ's just got a plug. So they have, they make good, good cupcakes.
I know. I was going to say, I know you like the cupcakes.
Because we had to renew all of our fire extinguishers. And at least two dozen people had no idea you're supposed to take your fire extinguishers even from home and get them serviced and updated and all that stuff. So that, to me, that was like the coolest thing. Cause I'm thinking, well, I post about all these restaurants.
Yeah.
Haha. Three people will think it's funny that I posted about my fire extinguishers. And all of a sudden that worked. So now I'm posting about the garbage company and the street sweeper and the plumber that comes in and the electrician and everything. The guy's doing stuff at her house. So yeah. Now we even post our personal things to an extent. There's things that I know that Carol doesn't want, or she might just say, you know, we don't need to say that kind of thing. But even if we do something, they're fixing our house, there's a house siding. When Tyler came in, cut down all the tree branches that broke up, you know, so it doesn't really matter. They're rebuilding. Somebody's building a new house across the street. Mm-hmm. I'll say something. It just doesn't matter if I'm walking down the street and there's a duck in the middle of the road and he doesn't run from me. Fly, run. I don't know what ducks
do. Probably do both.
But, and it's duck, duck, goose, not duck, duck, gray duck. Just so you people
now
know.
Now we're going to get controversial here.
You can argue in the comments. yeah. So it's basically anything. And it's because I like attention, because I'm a hyper squirrel and anything's going on. I love, love, love Carol for dealing with me because I am the biggest extrovert in the world. And my wife is an introvert. So when I'm always taking a picture or taking a video of her when she's walking through the store or doing something, it can get frustrating dealing with me. So all of the people in the world that might get frustrated with me sometimes, Carol has to be with me 24/7 at work, at home, driving, all that stuff. Break. So yeah. I already forgot what your question was, Tyler. Sorry.
Just talking about kind of the promoting of, you know, all the local restaurants mm-hmm. and businesses, not just even in Hudson, you mentioned River Falls and a Woodbury, but the impact that it's had for a lot of these restaurants, you know, especially early in the pandemic. You know, I'm not going to name names, but I talked to someone who owns a business downtown and just talked about the impact you had for the community here. My guess is you've probably had people coming and thanking you for sharing, spreading the word. What does that mean though? Just when you get to know that what you say is maybe just kind of on the fly posting a picture here and there, but it does make an impact, and it's, you know, promoting the community and helping people know, you know, what is going on out there.
Yeah, I think there's a few cool feeling scenarios. One is if we go to a restaurant and do what we do and eat and say things, and then that owner comes in to our restaurant mm-hmm. and like orders a bunch of stuff for them or their employee. That's just really cool. And some people might think, well, yeah, you went and supported them. They should come. No, they shouldn't. They should do what they want to do and they should eat where they want to eat. Mm-hmm. And we don't get a ton of people, like, they're not coming in and like posting about us and doing us because mm-hmm. that's not what it's about either. But just the fact that they came.
Right.
And there's several business owners in town that have been in several times, you know, over the years. And that's just a really cool feeling. And then, so they'll say thank you, or they'll say nice things, or they'll comment, but just them coming in and ordering also when they didn't have to do that, because that wasn't a deal or a negotiating thing. Yeah. The other cool thing is just like in general, if someone comes in and just thanks us for, not for that thing or that restaurant or that place, just thanks you. So it's not, they're not thanking us for their business or for their friend or for their employment. It's just for what we did, or it's really, really cool. Yeah. Or somebody saying, oh, I get a laugh out of your posts every day, or I go eat where you ate, you know? So that's kind of cool. There is a negative in here, I can tell you. So a negative that comes up about once a month or so, and it happened about 2-3 times a week when we were going out every single night, is we would post a picture about another restaurant. And then someone would call Urban to order said food, you know, that was posted. And that, I want those wings that you had. No, those are Barker's wings. Another plug. Sorry. Those are Barker's wings. You can't that. Or I want that breakfast pizza, you know, things like that. So that's kind of funny. And it's like, no, those aren't. We don't sell chicken tenders. You have to go to Post for chicken tenders. You know, so it's kind of those are like the funny things. But sometimes it can be frustrating for someone who just they saw the headline Urban and saw the picture of that, you know, food kind of thing.
When you mentioned too, before we got on the microphones here, about, you know, sometimes you're kind of one of the first people to discover a place and you almost have to maybe check with them just to make sure that, you know, if you post, because when you post, people go there and you want to make sure they're prepared for maybe the urban flood of
customers. I know. We did learn because it's, and that, I guess I didn't think about that, but that's another cool feeling is if we go to a place, whether it's new or people haven't been there in a while, and there's that immediate, like they go there immediately, that's a cool feeling. But it has happened over time because since the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people, restaurants and retail shops and other service stuff have like opened up. I'm going to start my own business. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, that's really cool. And a few of them have gotten like really busy immediately, you know? So yeah, we had one person say they ran out of some of their food. We've had another people say, you know, we were busy for so long and didn't have enough staff. No. So now I feel weird about it, but I will ask sometimes a newer place, you know, are you okay if I post about this today, you know, in case it gets busy. And if someone kind of knows me, it's fine. If they don't know me, I feel even weirder. Because they don't know me and I'm telling them that I'm going to post about you and you're going to get really busy because I posted about you. So it feels weird saying it because I don't take like positive feedback or compliments very well. Not because I don't appreciate them. It's just, it's my makeup.
Sure.
You know, it's my mental health issue is, so I feel weird like bringing that, the attention back to me that, you know, I'm cool and you're going to get, you know, 50 customers tomorrow because I said something about you. And if it happens, it's cool. And if it doesn't, but, you know, we did have a restaurant owner once. He told me, he asked me if I can post about the particular special of the week on that night the next day. So then they can, you know, everybody will come next week, you know? So again, and that feels good that they're, and again, they're appreciating it. So, I mean, ultimately it was never a goal because all of this was really kind of a happy accident. But when somebody either in a social media comment or in person says like or implies that thank you for doing that or thank you for the shout out or it's really, really cool. Or it's like sometimes they'll say thank you and then they'll share that post about them. It keeps me on my phone a lot. And it's hard to yell at the employees to get off their phones when I'm always on the phone, you know, and I try to put it away sometimes when Carol and I are out on our own. And she
wants to get the pictures.
She
the
deals with it now. Yeah. So every time if you see a picture of her off in the distance in front of a business or the back of her head, she's already asked me to put the phone away. So sorry.
I was going to just say, as we kind of wrap this part up of the conversation, we're going to get to a few more quick hitters in a minute, but I wanted to say thanks just for introducing me to some new places over the last few years. The peanut butter chicken, and I forget the name of the buffet.
Peanut butter chicken and the coconut shrimp are two of the best things in Hudson from Kingdom Buffet.
Kingdom Buffet.
And I can rattle off a bunch of my favorite things are the best things. And that doesn't mean best restaurant or this restaurant is better than this restaurant. It's
personal favorite.
But there are 10 to 12 things in Hudson that I would eat for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, and they're so good. But peanut butter chicken is awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It's been a while since I've had it. I might have to get it pretty soon. That kind of leads me into one of the few Hudson-specific kind of quick-hitting questions. Now, how would you describe the food scene here in Hudson?
I'm not smart enough to say the word eclectic. But is that a proper word?
It's eclectic,
a little of everything. So I like it. There's nothing like urban. Then there's nothing like previous restaurant, the Vinger Stuba. Hmm. You know, so you get those kind of places or like Little Italy now with the Italian, the bakery, because there wasn't a bakery for so long, the Sub House. And then you have all the like the burger places, but this one has more wings and this one has more nachos and this one does some pizza. So you can kind of get everything. You can get just about anything in Hudson except Indian food. But there are a few Indian restaurants in Woodbury that are awesome. Yeah, so there's a lot of food. For us personally, here's a funny thing that the pandemic and doing all this eating out brought about. I have not had a drink in 31 years.
Oh, wow.
And Carol does not drink much. Her drinking is like one or two margaritas or daiquiri a year. So we don't drink. So, and I'm sorry, I'll have to go through and at some point, maybe on another podcast, and say the name of every restaurant in town so no one thinks I'm leaving them out. But
he loves you all.
We would not have gone to, previously, because we don't drink, we would not have gone to Jonesy's, Village Inn, Cozy Corner, Stars, I know it's not just a bar, like, you know, Dick's, yeah. Smiling Moose, Hudson Tap. We wouldn't have gone to those because we just, we don't, you know, we don't, we wouldn't drink that. And like, if I ate a burger, I would eat a burger that Carol made on the grill. Or we admittedly, and we've been very clear about this on the social media, we like Asian. Mm-hmm. We've always liked that type of food. And before all of this started, if you ever saw Chad Trainer's post, it was going to the Hmong Village and the Kingdom Buffet, mm-hmm. and Than Truc and all these other different places, the Trey Chow and these different places in the cities. That's what we did. But wanting to be nice and go around to everybody brought us into all these places. Village Inn, Cajun Dry Rub wings are the best wings around. The breakfast pizza at Cozy Corner, hopefully they can come back. Mm-hmm. One of the best things around. Jonesy's broasted chicken.
Chicken, yeah.
And their five cheese Cajun steak soup is the best soup I've ever eaten in my life.
Wow. That's high praise.
Do I get royalties for any of this stuff?
They'll send you checks. Yep.
But I would have never found those. And it's nothing against anything. If you don't drink, you don't go into a bar. If you don't eat, I don't like sushi. So a lot of the people that won't go into any of the Asian restaurant when there's all the different types of food. So we found a lot of restaurants and food that we didn't know about. So it's cool that other people, you know, found it. But we found at least a dozen restaurants that we wouldn't have stepped foot. I wouldn't have thought of gone into Paddy Ryan's because I'm half Irish and I grew up with all my grandma's food. I just wouldn't think about going to the restaurant. And Paddy Ryan's, who's now in River Falls, amazing food. So all of this stuff actually helped us first.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, finding all these things and finding food that we didn't like. Going into, this is always funny when I'm plugging more people. When people come into Urban and say, oh, where should I eat? And one of the places I will send them, and it's weird for a certain age bracket, is to Ziggy's. Because face value, Ziggy's is, the word is a nightclub. It's a bar with music and rock and roll and all this stuff. And then they're thinking, well, you need to go there for the burgers because the Forager Burger is the best burger in existence. And then they have that chorizo mac and cheese. And they have good food. They also have, you know, all the music and the live stuff and the piano and all that stuff. But we would have never gone there, you know, to find that out. I wouldn't have gone to any of the sub places because we have all those meats and all those cheeses and different sauces and accompaniments. But now we go there and we're really good friends with the Sub House.
I was going to say, Sub House, I've seen pop up quite a
people,
bit.
Yeah. So, and we will interact when it has nothing to do with either of us. We'll interact with each other. And there's a few of us around town that will interact with each other just because. Yeah. And it helps, you know? So when Haley has to go to the Sub House early in the morning to do a function for a school, you know, a big to-go thing or something, catering or something like that. And she's like, oh, I don't wake up as early as, you know, Charlie and Chad, but, you know, I'll try today with some extra coffee from here or from there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun, you know, the interaction. And if, on a personal, even though it's not because of, it has nothing to do with the restaurant, there's a bunch of people in a lot of the Facebook groups that, you know, go back and forth with me now. And that's kind of cool. So there's, I don't have, and I don't mean to insult anybody, I don't have friends in my life. I don't have a lot of contact with family or friends. And I work, I go home, all the people, the customers and the kids and everybody, the employees that work there are my friends. But I have a lot of friends. I just put up quotation marks that you can't see through the social media and all the interactions with Urban and all that stuff. So now sometimes I'm posting in these groups as Chad that has nothing to do with Urban and getting some sort of response. And then somewhere in a response, like, who is this guy you're talking to? Oh, he owns Urban Olive and Vine. Hey, you should go there.
Yeah.
You know, so it all kind of comes back, you know, be nice and someone's going to be nice to you and help out your neighbor and they're going to help you out and talk about your neighbor. Maybe they'll talk about you. And I mean, because of this and because we're so open, I can go say, hey, our tree just got struck by lightning. Who do you guys think I should call? And I got a list of stuff. You know, hey, we want to get our chimney fixed. Who should I call? Hey, who knows how to do this? Can anybody help me cart these refrigerators in from, you know, and we've gotten all this help and it's just for being nice.
Yeah.
You know, and that's cool. And you could say that, yeah, he's using his clout as Urban to get help with his tree that fell down at home. But if you're nice and people think you're being nice and they want to show appreciation, then why not see if you can do that? And usually what happens, we're going to pay them in gift certificates, you know, stuff like that. And then we say something nice about their business too. Yeah. So it all ties in for me and the social media. It ties into saying as many nice things as we can about other businesses, not just restaurants, because the people that took care of our tree got a half a dozen phone calls the next day from people that wanted to do their tree. I have a list of about 12 people that can fix the zipper on my winter coat that broke because I went in. So again, because I'm in love with attention and I do those kind of things, like, why not?
Yeah. Well, I think people also appreciate that you're promoting local, you know, promoting this community and promoting businesses that are you know, other people
and,
that work
and
in town
the outside
here.
Communities and the other towns. And, you know, I'm sure there's thoughts sometimes about why is he posting about that restaurant there, that much. If we went to Denver for my brother's wedding and I posted about everywhere we ate there. So, and I got comments on from people that had been there before. So it doesn't really matter. If we go someplace, I'm saying something nice. And I'm so bummed if we go to a place and they're not on social media because they have no idea that could, you know. So, and that is really, really cool when we get a response from someone on the other side of the country or someone. Because I will tag Pringles and Coca-Cola and Doritos and Kit Kat. And I've gotten responses from that. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. Nobody cares. But it's like, ha-ha. Top the Tater likes me because I said something cool about there. I'd never heard of that stuff, you know, until a few months ago. And now I've eaten about 200 tubs of Top the Tater. So, yeah. So all that kind of stuff. I think you said that was supposed to be a quick answer.
That's okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, I do a couple quick.
This is a
left.
7-hour podcast, so you people know.
Feature length film. Yeah. You kind of mentioned one of the other questions I had. What the type of restaurant that Hudson does not have that you wish it did? You said Indian food. I know for me, Mediterranean have like
some type of Mediterranean
Indian
beer,
I guess.
When you start getting into specific, like around the country, there's a lot of German restaurants and Italian restaurants and Asian restaurants, and because that. American Asian, American Italian, American. So we all like it. If you start getting into Mediterranean, Indian, Polish, that restaurant is going to be in a community where they live.
Sure.
So they're not just going to like, let's say there's a community in an Indian community in Madison. They're not going to go to Hudson to open up their third restaurant,
right.
You know, things like that. So, but we love, there's a couple Indian restaurants like in Woodbury that around. So like, we like
the grocery store that has the food there too.
Fresh India. They have the Palak Paneer, which is my favorite Indian dish. And then there's India Masala that has a big buffet, probably one of the bigger buffets. Before Urban, I worked in a Mediterranean Greek restaurant for 5.5 years. I ran their kitchen. They had to teach me their food. So I could be in charge of their kitchen and show it and teach everyone else. And I actually worked there at the same time when I started at Urban. So I ran Urban during the daytime. And then I ran this Greek restaurant, Aristo's. It's in the where Thai Basil is now in Stillwater.
Oh, okay.
And I would go there at night and run the restaurant. Yeah, so that was my last day there was their last day.
Okay.
They sold it. Like we timed it, you know, well there. And I asked Sammy, the boss there, who is also the owner of the main cafe in downtown Stillwater. They have a Nero omelet that is awesome. I asked him, are you okay if I do a Nero on my omelet? Are you okay if I use the spicy feta? And it's like, okay, I can't have this big machine. I can't do it how you do it. What brand should I get?
Sure.
And he told me a couple of things. So that was kind of a cool thing because he could have said, no. Don't put my sandwich on your menu.
I was gonna say you've got a good Euro.
Yeah.
I've had it before.
So,
I can vouch for it.
Yeah, so that's kind of, so he told me what I should get since I had to get, you know, the Euro meat pre-made and the kind of tzatziki and things like that. So yeah, I went off. I'm a squirrel.
That's okay. Well, the last one I'll leave you with, and this one's a little bit open-ended, but you know, however you want to answer it, is good by me. What is your favorite thing about the Hudson community, or about Hudson? Just open-ended.
Okay, I grew up in Milwaukee, then Tampa, then Milwaukee. So big cities compared where, you know people, but you don't know all your neighbors. So coming to the small town was a tiny bit of a shock, but it's also cool because like everybody knows people. And like an arm of that is that Carol grew up here. So lots of people know her from growing up with her, meaning their kids like know her. Some of them may or may not have been employees over time. And almost everybody knows her mom. So that's like all these people know each other. And also being in a small town, watch what you say, Chad, because everybody's going to find, you know, don't get a ticket because they're all going to know. So stuff like that.
Would you post a picture if you got pulled over with the ticket?
I was going to do that. And she told me that the Hudson Police Department came to my house about 2 months ago. I was having trouble with the credit card machine at the gas station, Freedom, and thought I paid for my gas.
Oh, no.
And about a half an hour later, bang, bang, bang on the door. And Carol she didn't want me to take a picture of the police at her door.
That's but probably a good idea.
Yeah. So I had to go back to Freedom and pay for my gas that I drove away on. I haven't done that since I was a kid. So just kidding, not. But yeah, so the small kind of community, everybody knows each other kind of neat or knows of each other. We could walk when the kids were little.
Yeah.
There's 7 parks within walking distance. So I don't know if I said it earlier. I probably did. We live 3 blocks from the restaurant. Yeah. So before the restaurant, we live 3 blocks from downtown. So we could go to all these different places. Carol's sister lives right around the corner from us. Carol's mom lives up on the hill.
Okay.
So yeah. And then her, her aunt used to live in the cities along with her cousin. So she had that tie-in. All my relatives they're all over the country, but mostly in Milwaukee. So yeah, so I like the small town, the close town. I guess the effect of us and the social media and all that stuff is the acceptance and everybody being like cool and, you know, giving us the positive vibes back, you know, and that's really cool for someone that likes attention a lot. Because if somebody comes in and they know us, or if we're at a choir concert and someone knows us, if I'm at a store, if I'm shopping for my groceries at the restaurant depot that doesn't have the public come in and people stop me. So I'm in by the Como Park, whatever the fairgrounds.
The state fair, right? Yeah.
And someone stops me because they recognize me. And I'm like, oh, you've been to Urban? No, never been there. We just follow you. So that's cool. Is just so weird, you know, to have that kind of community interaction, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So I like the small town. I like the, everybody kind of knows everything that's going on. And my wife's here. Oh, that was really mushy. So wherever my wife is where I'm happy. Oh. And that's home.
There we go. I think that's a pretty good place to end it right there.
Yeah, somebody better make sure she heard that. Don't edit that out.
She's going to listen till the end until she can hear it.
Yes. Yeah. I love Carol. She's right. I was going to say she's right most of the time, but she's actually right all of the time. That's not a lie. Like all of the time. I was right when I said I do. So that was the last time I was right about something. So love you, honey.
Well, we'll end it on that. I think that's a pretty good way to end. Chad, thank you so much for not just taking time today to chat, but really for the advocacy of Hudson and just spreading the good word about all the local businesses in town and all the different parts of our community. So yeah, thank you for everything.
Cool. Community over competition. And if we all make it, we will all make it. I told Carol I wasn't going to say either of those because they sound cheesy, but that's our Hallmark card, you know? Yeah, if we all make it, we'll all make it. So it's okay if somebody eats at the other restaurant tonight because they'll eat at your restaurant on another night.
Well, and if you're listening and you haven't been to Urban Olive yet, go check them out because they've got some great stuff. So again, thanks to Chad for being on this inaugural episode of St. Croix Stories, and thanks to everybody for listening. You can find all the episodes, there will be more, stcroixstories.com. We'll be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So be sure to subscribe so you can hear all the future episodes. If you have ideas for who should be a guest on the show as well, let me know. But until next time, have a great day.